Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here and especially to speak to the press club. I'm a great fan of the press. I'm one of the nation's largest buyers of newspapers every day. And just last night I was staying in a Sydney hotel, so as I checked in I said to the lady at the desk that I'd like all the newspapers delivered to my room in the morning. And we went through the list, you know, there's the Sydney Morning Herald, the Daily Telegraph, and then I thought that was pretty good, and I said yes, but also the Financial Review and the Australian. And she said, I wouldn't like to take you on a Trivial Pursuit. And I mumbled something about I was pretty good at crossword puzzles too by now. So, very happy to talk to the media and to various people in South Australia who've come here today, because the media has been trying very hard to explain all of the dramatic changes to the public. Most of them have had supplements, have been giving heavy attention to the impact of the new tax changes, and it's only going to step up from here until July 1 and then after that. And actually I was asked about my own sort of personal biography just now, and I explained that my professional career began as an academic when I was in England. I got a job at Cambridge where my first job was to investigate the effects of indirect taxes on business and on business prices. And I spent 6 months of misery driving around all over England interviewing angry businessmen who had this tax on them, and I vowed never ever again to be caught up in dealing with anything whatsoever to do with taxes. But it seems to have revisited me. Now, what I want to do today is to say a few general things about what is happening, and also to leave good time for questions. So, the Commission thinks that for the most part, the market will take care of prices adequately. That for the most part, prices will rise by no more than necessary. And where there are reductions due to changes in the tax system, that they are passed on. And there's a number of reasons for asserting that. First, in the present macroeconomic climate of low inflation, with interest rates a little higher, most businesses, in fact, will be going flat out just to pass on the tax increases, let alone add anything extra for the purposes of profiteering. Secondly, there's competition in most industries. And because of that high consumer awareness of the changes, a lot of businesses will see a competitive opportunity to give a good deal to their customers, and certainly to make it clear that they're not overcharging. Thirdly, most businesses will act responsibly. Fourthly, as you know, there is a huge consumer interest in the price effects of the tax changes. And there will be 19 million consumer watchdogs out there on July 1 watching every price, and business prices will be under the closest scrutiny by everyone. And I believe businesses are going to be very careful. By all the signs I see, business will be very careful about its prices. Incidentally, the ACCC is setting up on the side a pet food company to cater to the 19 million watchdogs that going to be out there. And as well, there is an extremely strong law passed by all the parliaments of Australia, the Commonwealth, the South Australian, all the state and territory parliaments, an extremely strong law prohibiting consumer price exploitation. And by the way, some of the complaints you hear from business about the ACCC being zealous and so on are simply complaints about the strength of the law that has been passed by all parliaments. We're just doing our job in carrying out the will of Parliament, which undoubtedly reflects the community will, that there should be no seizing of opportunities brought about by the new tax system to make profit at the expense of consumers. And another reason that I am optimistic is that there has been one test run. That was last July 29, when the wholesale sales tax was reduced on televisions, videos, hi-fis, cameras, watches, jewellery. We did major surveys on the day after, 3 and 6 months later, and we found that those reductions were passed on in full, immediately, by just about every business in the 150 towns that we visited and collected price information on. So there's good compliance on the test run. But there will be exceptions, and the Commission is certainly prepared to apply the force of law to them, and also, very importantly, to get results for consumers. People raised their question of inadvertent mistakes by business, and the Commission has had a long history of dealing with big and small business over the years and applying the law in a proper and balanced fashion. But the question of inadvertent mistakes, I think it should just be mentioned that there are two sides to it. Of course, the Commission and the courts always take into account if there has been a genuine inadvertent mistake in applying the law. But I should also just mention that if there has been an inadvertent mistake, that means that a consumer or a group of consumers has been overcharged in some fashion. So our emphasis is on ensuring that there is compensation for people who are the victims of inadvertent mistakes. That's what our concern is, and that's the other side of that discussion about inadvertent errors. We take it into account, the penalty proceedings and so on, but there is an important compensation issue sometimes involved when someone has been mistakenly overcharging. There are a couple of points, however, where I have some concern. One is that it's just a fact that everyone will be looking closely at prices on the day and around then, and it's rather inevitable that in some cases not very important examples of possible overcharging may get blown up in the media, and generally I make no criticism of that, but I suspect that naturally the media will want to play up the cases it comes across, and I hope that those cases that they undoubtedly find don't detract from a proper assessment of what will be delivered to consumers by business on that day. So we ourselves will be trying to form some assessments of whether or not the right prices have come through to consumers as a result of this process, not just focusing on a few sensational cases that get blown up. The other concern that I have had thus far has been that in many parts of the community there's a perception that all prices will go up by 10%. There was a survey by Melbourne University a few weeks ago that found that over 50% of consumers thought all prices would go up by 10%. We are concerned that expectation has been there. I think it's starting to diminish. One of the advantages of the shopping guide that we've sent to every household in Australia, we've sent out millions of them, has been that it has given consumers more information about the likely effects of the GST, and I believe it has helped prick the bubble of inflated expectations, had those inflated expectations persisted, then that would have had some adverse effects on the price effects of the GST, because if people think prices will go up a lot, they're softened up, consumer resistance is softened up, and also business competitors start thinking, well, everyone else in the industry is going to raise prices. So we believe that injecting a note of realism into the likely effects of the tax system on prices will bring about better results generally in pricing than might otherwise have occurred. Well, let me say a few more things about the dimensions of what we are involved in at the ACCC. As I've said, there are provisions in the Trade Practices Act prohibiting price exploitation, backed by quite substantial fines. What they do is they focus on price changes, not price levels. We are concerned just with how prices adjust when taxes change. We're not concerned with the general level of prices. In other words, if a business is making a very high profit, we're not saying to the business it has to absorb the tax increase. We're just saying your prices must adjust by no more than the tax increase on account of it. Likewise, we are saying, however, that if you're making low profits at the moment, this is not the occasion to use the changes brought about by the new tax system to get your low profits up to something acceptable. The underlying guideline can be summarised as follows. That if there is a $1 fall in business costs and taxes due to the new tax system, prices should go down a dollar. If there's a $1 rise in taxes and costs due to the new tax system and all cost savings have appropriately been taken into account, then prices may rise by up to a dollar. The guidelines spell that out in a bit more detail, but basically we think that rule protects consumers, is fair to business because it implies they don't have to have a reduction in profit, and is simple and clear for everyone to understand and to apply. The law has a number of interesting provisions. Because this is the press club, I should perhaps mention that there's one of some special interest to you, I guess, or at least to the business side of the press, the management representatives, and that is this Act has the unusual provision in it that the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission may issue notices in the press and other forms of media stating opinions about the prices that companies charge. So it's rather unusual to see in an Act of Parliament a provision that the regulator can express its views on what the prices of a business should be by way of advertisements in the press. Now, there are also provisions in the law about misleading and deceptive conduct in relation to the tax changes. And just last week, the Senate agreed to laws which in fact step up the fines for misleading and deceptive conduct from about $200,000 per offence to $10 million per offence in relation to misleading and deceptive conduct about tax-related price changes. So I took it from last week as a further signal from the parliaments of Australia that they intend these laws to be serious and to be taken seriously. The basic point about price display is that we want to avoid the American system under which the price marked on the good is different from what you pay at the till because tax is added at the till. And I'm pretty happy about progress on that. It seems to me, with this massive change going on, that just about every business in the land is set to have prices that are GST inclusive, not to have a different price at the till. What are our activities? Well, first of all, we have educational activities. We have a wide range of them, but I'd like to mention two. One of them, of course, I've already mentioned, is the Shopping Guide for Consumers, which has now gone out. The Shopping Guide is about the price changes due to the new tax system only. It doesn't seek to estimate what other influences there may be on prices, and it's our estimates of the effects over 6 months. We believe the consumers are entitled to this information, that it will help them, that it empowers them to shop around, to question prices, to let us know on our hotline if they have concerns about prices. Many businesses have actually responded quite positively to the estimates and are aware that if their prices are within the range of estimates that we've provided, we are less likely to investigate them. And some businesses have found that it's just a very good guide that clears up matters for them, and they're going to stick within the range. And of course, the price estimates are not some kind of binding law. If someone's prices are outside range, it doesn't mean they're breaking law, but it does mean they're more likely to be investigated. And as to the accuracy of the estimates, I think the main serious estimates that have been put out have been by the Australian Food and Grocery Council, the main food manufacturers and so on, and the numbers that we arrived at using a somewhat different method are virtually the same. There's very little difference between us and them. But one of the reasons we published the estimates was the fact that we thought it was fairly important that, because there are many self-interested forecasts of prices going out from individual businesses, which inflate the expectations, that it was important that the public should have some independent assessment of the likely effects. Small business and education, there's one particular matter that we have gone out of our way to provide, and that is a cost savings estimator, which is available on our website and which is being mailed out to most small businesses, so far as we can find them on all the established mailing lists. And that is to help business calculate the cost savings under the new system. As you know, the problem is that everyone seems to be very aware of the tax rises, and they are unaware, or say often that they're not fully aware, of the cost savings that they will make. And there is naturally a concern on the part of consumers and ourselves if there are businesses that pass on the tax rises to consumers but pocket the cost savings for the benefit of their bottom line, whether inadvertently or not. And there are many cost savings. First of all, as you know, there are major reductions in wholesale sales tax of billions of dollars, which need to be passed on to consumers. In addition, there are considerable cost savings in business from day to day, things like petrol, telephones, postal, in office equipment, stationery, computers, a number of other inputs. and they need to be taken into account. We have given a guide as to how to take them into account. And for those who haven't followed it, just to give you a simple example, if you take petrol, now petrol, let's say that when the government makes its decision that it adopts, say, 8 cents, no one knows what it will be, but let's say that it, on the day, the GST on petrol is 8 cents, then as you know they're going to reduce excise by 8 cents to ensure that there is no effect on consumers. But about business gets that 8 cents back as a so-called input tax credit. So every business buying petrol in that manner will get 8 cents off. That's a simple example of a saving. Where the GST has been paid on an input to a business, then it gets an input tax credit. And there are similar credits it gets for quite a range of other items, and they need to be taken into account. Well, we have also been talking to businesses about public compliance commitments, and quite a number of big businesses are signing or set to sign commitments under which they will publicly adopt the guidelines and also provide us with information that enables us to check that they have in fact so complied. We have a hotline and it's starting to warm up. We're starting to get quite a few calls, about 2,500 calls a day. Most of them are from business seeking information. There'd be about 10% of the calls are from, I mean, a lot more than that are from consumers, but about 10% of the calls are not seeking information, but they would be more in the nature of some kind of complaint. But I should just make it pretty clear that some of the complaints are not really that there's anyone breaking the law, they're just complaining the price is going up, or some of those standard complaints you get about the fact that the price of a good is different in this shop from that shop, and that's a pretty bad thing. We are getting a number of complaints at this stage, and at the moment we're able to deal with all complaints. Some of them don't require much attention, others do require a probe. We are also doing very extensive monitoring of prices. We have 400 people, in addition to the commission staff. The commission staff is about 450, but we have about 400 people who are checking business prices all around Australia, in cities and in rural towns, in the outback and so on. And we've already done a couple of these surveys, and we're going to end up doing about 7. We'll be collecting about 3 million prices, and it will cover all the things that you could think of. That is, it would cover supermarkets and groceries, it would cover alcohol, tobacco, pharmacies, household appliances like TV sets and refrigerators, it would cover household services. And then with petrol, we already do a lot of monitoring, but that will step up to many thousands of sites around Australia. It's not so hard to do these days due to electronic information. And we'll also be doing a whole lot of other checking of prices through established sources, like with banks. It's fairly easy to check their prices and so on. And I should just mention that about July the 1st, because this got mentioned in the press this morning, we'll be on the job on the 1st of July, and we'll be collecting price information, and indeed we're collecting price information right now, and we'll be collecting it through the period of change. One thing which I believe has just been blown up a bit today is that we have approached a number of retail businesses asking that they voluntarily provide basic price information, just 15 items, just 15 prices, which we don't regard as particularly onerous. And what we found last July at 29, when we did our big monitoring, was that there are some benefits both for business and for the ACCC collectors in the business providing us with what they think the prices are in advance or on the day, because it means that there is less disruption to their business when our collectors actually arrive to get prices. So we have asked quite a number of businesses to give us 15 prices, and if you we have them in quite a few stores around Australia, and that will complement our own price checking that will be done on that day. And the basic reason we want to do it is that most Australians would like to know very quickly what is happening to prices. So we'll be doing some work, but we're asking businesses to help us to give us some information. And major retailers have already agreed to cooperate. I've not heard back from any business that we approached them several days ago that they won't cooperate. I do know that major retailers are all not only cooperating but happy to cooperate and think it's a good thing. So I was just a bit surprised that one business group today had a somewhat negative reaction to the matter. We think it's in the interest of the business community as much as of the public that there be early, accurate, informed, independent information available for the public about what the price effects of the new tax system have been. Otherwise there tend to be something of an information vacuum. So we have sought cooperation, and as far as I know, we are generally getting it from business people. The headline we mentioned, it's not a price raid, that is a bit of a beat up. Now, let me talk about a few other matters. Basically, we are also involved in enforcing the law. We have a case concerning Video Easy before the courts. I should just correct one misconception about that. This doesn't go to the merits of the case, which is for the federal court to decide. There has been an impression created by Video Easy that there were a few teenage salespeople who said the wrong thing to customers, and then we took action against them. What actually happened was that there were quite a few complaints from consumers that they'd been told that the prices had gone up on account of GST by salespeople. We then did an in-depth 2-month investigation of Video Easy's internal documents. We questioned their executives. We did a pretty full analysis, and we concluded that they were in fact anticipating unlawfully the GST in their prices. We talked to them about what to do, and no signs of wanting to do anything about it. We used our powers under the Trade Practices Act to issue a price exploitation notice. When we issue a decision under the Act, when the Act says we're meant to issue price exploitation notices, we believe in making that public. We made it public. So the Commission has played that one in quite a straightforward manner. Video Easy entitled to fight the matter in court, so we look forward to the court case on that matter. There have been a number of matters in relation to misleading and deceptive conduct. Perhaps I'll pass over them, and I'll just conclude by making one other, or perhaps two related points. One is that there's been a vast increase in the resources available to the Commission to deal with pricing matters under the GST. Our budget has roughly doubled in the last 2 years. And the second point I want to make is quite an important one, and that is the Commission continues to be fully active on all its traditional activities. We're involved in 55 cases before the Federal Court at the moment, including some in South Australia, on price fixing, misuse of market power, exclusive dealing, mergers, consumer protection, we're regulating the public utilities and so on. And contrary to suggestions that we might cut back here, I'm pleased that the government gave us a very big increase in funding for non-GST activities. An increase we've always wanted, but this was the occasion, and so the Commission's position in its normal areas of activity has been strengthened substantially financially. So thank you very much for having me, and I'd be very happy to answer any questions. Oh, okay. Well, any questions? Do you want to... Yeah, thanks. Good.
Yeah. Good. So, questions from the media. Can I ask you please to give your name and the organisation you represent before you ask your question? Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Rick Jones, advertiser. A question that perhaps is on the fringe of your responsibilities, but when a similar tax, the GST tax, was introduced in New Zealand, I understand that the Prime Minister of the day, Mr. Lowy, was surprised to find that the population had increased and that the number of taxpayers in fact increased from 3.6 to 3.9. The question flows from there is, do you think that will happen here? How will you check against previous prices of the perhaps 500,000 people that didn't exist until July 1, even though they now are on the books of the taxation department? And do you think either the ACCC or for that matter the taxation department will backdate prosecutions?
Well, the backdating is not an issue for us. The only sort of past issue is whether there's been any anticipatory pricing by anyone. And I might just digress onto that to say that there's not much evidence of that if you look at the Consumer Price Index. The main blips in the Consumer Price Index have been vegetables, which is due to fruit and vegetables due to a bad season, oil. There have been big rises in building products, but I'd say that was more demand-led than anything. Now, going back to your question, yes, we may have an increase in the small business population that exceeds by a considerable amount a claimed decrease in it as a result of the introduction of the new tax system. That would be my guess. I think to get what we're doing in some kind of perspective, big business, the top 100 companies cover what 60% of private sector activity, and the heaviest emphasis of the Commission is on big business prices, and if they're kept in check, that will have a powerful competitive influence on all the smaller businesses in Australia. Regarding the fact that they may have been dodging tax in the past, we've not really had any cases of that sort to look at, but it would be more a matter for the tax department. The big issue there, I think if they're caught, they have enough trouble with my colleague, Mr. Carmody. But I think he's also given them some leeway on this, if I remember rightly. But I wouldn't be expecting major price problems as a result of this. And we'd be very grateful for their contribution to public revenue anyway.
Yes, Mark Steen from the Advertiser newspaper. I was curious about your comments about the Federal Court and the Video Easy case. when the law comes into effect, the new tax system comes into effect, you would probably expect an increase in the number of prosecutions by the ACCC in relation to breaches of the tax laws. The federal court's notoriously slow. It takes sometimes several years for cases to be finalised. Do you think a more streamlined prosecutorial system would help matters? Or what do you think? My question is, courts could become clogged with prosecutions.
Well, of course, in practical terms, prosecutions aren't the only weapon at our disposal. There are notices in the media. Also, the fact is that for whatever reason, most businesses settle with the ACCC. Not all of them, but the Commission, I believe, has won such a large number of court cases. It's won 135 of its last 143 bouts in court, that most businesses don't take it on. And we concentrate generally on getting practical remedies like compensation and that kind of thing. So we look at a range of measures. Now, on the question of the speed of the courts, we again have had pretty big experience of court matters. And there are some remedies you can get really quickly, like injunctions, orders to roll back prices, provision to be made for compensation of consumers if we win the case, and so on. So we very often go to court and get a fast interim result which does most of the work we wanted. The risk of sounding a little mysterious, there is a reason that we've not said much about as to why the Video Easy case has been a little slow to progress. But I could also mention that it was an anticipatory pricing case, which is slightly different from the sort of case we expect to deal with. But don't take Video Easy as your guide. There are some reasons that will become more apparent sometime why that's been going a bit slow.
Dan Crouch from the Sunday Mail. Professor, the state opposition suggested you go after the government for them adding a straight 10% to some of their services and charges. Will you be doing so? And secondly, do you seriously have enough resources, even if your budget has been doubled?
Just hold that one. I'll come back to you on that one. Okay, I'll take the first question.
All right.
And then you can have a go at me on the second.
Okay.
On the first one, the Commission is quite happy to take on governments on these matters. They're often a very popular target, and we have taken on governments and government agencies. We've taken government departments to court, like the Weather Bureau. We took them on for misuse of market power, not misleading conduct. But, I think I should explain one rather important point about these government charges that were listed in the advertiser this morning, and that is that there was a Commonwealth State agreement about this subject, which we weren't involved in, which is that, unlike the private sector, all the cost savings which state governments get from the new tax system have to be handed back to the Commonwealth. So with the normal private sector, they make a bunch of cost savings on the items that I mentioned. The state governments do not. There was an agreement, it was a tax agreement, whatever, that all these savings got handed back to the Commonwealth. So the position of state government charges, for better or worse, is different from the private sector because there are no cost savings to look at. We think the South Australian government should explain those circumstances. I think from the report I saw, they've not arrived at individual prices at the moment. They've just announced that a lot of things will go up. But since there are no cost savings, one can not be optimistic. We would certainly expect them to be not above 10% on account of the new tax system. They may go up a bit more because of other annual adjustments and so on. Some of the items, despite what I've said, are outside our jurisdiction. Now, second question.
If I can just have another one. A Yellow Pages small business survey suggested 2/3 of small businesses expect to increase prices. Almost half of these say they're going up 10%. 5% saying they're going up more than 10%. Now, even with your expanded budget, have you seriously got enough resources to go chasing corner stores where pensioners ring in and say, you know, on my limited budget, the prices have gone up?
I'd be surprised if those numbers turn out to be correct. And I just mentioned that last week there was a survey, a bigger, fairly substantial survey by Business Review Weekly, which indicated that about 30% of business would not be able in present market circumstances to pass on the tax changes in full. And if they can't, then small business will also not find it that easy. And it's not that easy in this climate to get prices up by 10%, let alone by more, particularly for small businesses. But on the general resource question, let me address that. That's an important question. Could I just try and paint the big picture on that one? What are we trying to do? Our aim is not to have an inspector in every supermarket aisle for its own sake. Our interest is in seeing that prices rise by no more than is necessary and that price reductions are passed on in full. As I said, the market will do a lot of the work on its own. And we want to point out that in areas of law enforcement like traffic or like crime or tax, you don't need a traffic cop at every stoplight to make sure that cars don't go through it. If you have a strong law with high sanctions and credibility, if you have an enforcement agency which is known to be prepared to apply the law, then you will get general compliance. You get general compliance with the traffic laws, the criminal laws, without the kinds of numbers of police that a few people are suggesting that we need. Some people seem to think we have to have someone looking at every small business in the land, that we need 2 million. You don't need 2 million cops to enforce the traffic laws or the tax laws, as long as you've got a strong law and a willingness to apply it. And there's another factor. I gave this analogy about cops at traffic lights, and someone said to me, well, that's not a good analogy because there are many reasons you don't go through a traffic light besides fear of fines. But it's exactly the same with business. There are many reasons why business will not price excessively, quite apart from the law, competition and market factors and so on. So we are satisfied with the resources that we have. Our budget has been doubled. There has been some misreporting, and I don't mean actually the press, but others have been misreporting to the press what our resources are. We're always available to explain. For example, I heard it said that we have got one person in South Australia checking prices. This is quite wrong. We have about 30 or 40 people checking in the price checks alone all over South Australia, and we have quite a large number of staff working on these matters directly. We have a whole lot of other sources of information, and we have people calling in on hotlines. So what is needed in this discussion is a more realistic account of what we're trying to do, trying to make sure that those prices generally behave properly, which I think they will, but we will be devoting enough resources to clamp down on people who manage to make an exception of themselves despite market forces.
David Eccles, an advertiser. Professor Fells, you mentioned earlier, that's a two-part question, you mentioned earlier there were 400 people around Australia besides the ACCC staff who would be out monitoring prices actively.
Yes.
Who are they?
Who are the staff?
Sorry?
Who?
You mentioned earlier 400 people around Australia besides the 450
yes.
ACCC staff.
400, yeah, go about somewhere over 400, yes.
Who are they?
Yep.
How are they recruited? Will they be paid and for how long?
Yes.
How many are in South Australia?
Yes.
And the second part, in your honest assessment, do you think the average Australian will be better or worse off under a GST?
Yes. Well, the second question is a political one which I keep out of. Sorry. On the first one, I'll just try to answer your question. There are about 400 people who have been engaged to do these price surveys around Australia. I think it's about 30 in South Australia, that order. People are experienced price watchers. In other words, we have got some businesses. One of them is the business called Informed Sources, which regularly does price checking, and they're the people that we have. You may or may not remember that a few weeks ago I had a media conference in South Australia which the TV and the press came along to, and there was one of the price checkers walking around the supermarket with me showing how she took down prices. So they're the sort of people, they're paid, it's a professional activity. They're professionals at getting the prices copied down right and reporting them. A bit cautious about giving you the exact amount. We estimates a couple of weeks ago. It's something under 10 million, but it's not that far short of 10 million. If you wanted a ballpark.
Professor Fields, Lord Main, down the back here. I'm not getting too many questions down the back here.
Yeah.
I want to sit down and have a glass of wine before the wet tax hits us, but. Could you remind us of what your budget is? You mentioned your budget, you've had an expanded budget. Could you remind us of what it is?
Yep, 75 million.
Okay, we have a couple of media students from South Australia here. I think that you'd like to ask a question. Would you like to identify yourself?
Hi, my name's Claire Murphy. I'm from the Catherine Dean School. I was just wondering, we've heard there's a tax on HEX fees for university students, and I was just wondering, would this be for past students or only those beginning university after July 1st, 2000? And if so, what percentage are you going to be putting on top of the HEX fees? Sorry, couldn't hear that? Okay, I'll repeat it. We've heard that there is a tax on HEX fees, Higher Education Contribution Scheme.
Yep.
We're wondering if this would be for past students or only those beginning university after July 1st, 2000, and if so, what percentage will this be set at?
I'm afraid I don't know. I'm not the tax expert. I have enough challenges in my present job to avoid being the expert on what the tax changes will be, particularly where there's no major price issue. Sorry.
Certainly. And just one more question. Do you believe that there will be an increase in under-the-table cash jobs as small business owners see the GST as simply a case of too much paperwork?
Well, that's possible. That could have that effect, yeah.
Professor John Ryan from the Scout Association.
Yep.
Over here.
Where are you? Oh, sorry.
Professor, the ACCC in recent times have made announcements about the pricing of motor vehicles.
Yeah.
And this is of interest in South Australia, of course, because we have two manufacturers here and they're very important to our state.
Yep.
We know that the motor vehicle industry have disputed some of the assertions from the ACCC. I understand you've met with them recently Could you give us the outcome of those discussions?
Yeah, well, I think it's just worth noting that the only dispute has come from car dealers. The only dispute has come from car dealers, not car manufacturers. And what is happening is quite clear, that there are highly likely to be price reductions by manufacturers on July 1, and the car dealer industry has been rather busy creating the impression that the prices have already been passed on. It's quite important that if manufacturers cut prices, that dealers pass it on. It's a dealer issue. And the claim in the ACCC estimates is that prices will fall by 6 to 8% on account of the new tax changes. Now, have they been passed on already? Well, we've had a look at the consumer price index. Car prices actually rose in the last quarter, not fell. If you go back further to the time of the election, car prices have come down 1.3% only. And that was part of a longer term downward trend due to tariff cuts and all that kind of thing. But they've come down 1.3. So it is difficult to argue that they have actually already fallen 6 to 8%, despite the claims of the car dealers, which I regard as self-interested claims. 25% of the wholesale sales tax reduction is the car's reduction, and it's important that consumers get the benefit. And I'm hopeful that they will, but we'll certainly be looking at the car dealers.
Professor Fennels, there's a question over here from Peter Edwards of Adelaide Strata Management. The President's indicated that this will be the second last question.
Thank you. We've talked a lot about the price effect of the new tax, etc., but we haven't mentioned a lot about the cost of compliance and how that's going to be reflected in the prices.
Well, net additional compliance costs can be included in prices within the 10% ceiling. So we recognise there are compliance costs. Our own consumer price estimates allow for them to a degree in our own estimates. The compliance costs vary widely all over industry. And in some cases they're quite substantial, in other cases they're not as substantial as claimed. For example, one accounting firm estimated that there would be $24 billion of compliance costs, although it also said that $12 billion of them would be payments to accountants. So there is a bit of an industry out there talking up compliance costs, but it is also the case we've seen in lots of businesses, sometimes they are quite high. Now, you can get net additional compliance costs, but subject to a few obvious points. You have to allow for the offsets. After a business collects GST on July 1, holds the money until, what is it, October the 15th or 20th, so they get a cash flow, they get a benefit from holding the cash. Secondly, they get some government assistance grants. Thirdly, there are reductions in compliance costs where wholesale sales taxes come off, because that's often quite complicated. Fourthly, there is a tendency in some areas to attribute costs to the new tax system when they're not really. For example, supposing someone takes the opportunity to upgrade their computers, then that's something that may only be partly attributable to the new tax system. So we would just say that as long as they're properly calculated, they're allowable, but they need to be properly calculated.
Take 2 minutes.
Can I go? Great. Carol Alton from The Australian. You spoke earlier about compensation to consumers for inadvertent mistakes.
Yes.
I just wondered how that's going to work in practice.
Yes. Well, I might say it's a very familiar problem for the Commission, because it's dealt with a huge number of
consumer protection cases over many years, and possibly contrary to our image with big business, we actually generally have a sequence of dealing with this. First of all, if there's a mistake being made, we try and get it stopped as quickly as possible. Next, we try and get compensation for consumers. That may include having to advertise so that consumers know there's been a mistake, and only then do we get around to questions like penalties and all that kind of thing. So in the case of an overcharge situation, we would, as a broad approach, be saying to a business, we'd be putting to the business, you're overcharged, what can you do to compensate consumers? Maybe they have a list of customers, that sometimes happens. Like in video shops, they often have a list of exactly what videos you've watched for the last year or two. Have to be careful about that. And also, in other cases, we ask them to advertise or to make known to as many consumers as possible, so there's an entitlement. Every case is a bit different, but the idea is to get the money back for the consumer. Go on. Oh, the money. It would be the money, not the vouchers. Well, normally, if there's an overcharge, you'd just want them to refund. It's a refund you'd be after, first and foremost. Occasionally, complication comes up and you have to look for some other solution.
Professor Bergstor, you mentioned many instances of controversy that the ACCC finds itself in, and over the years that has been substantial to the point where many business leaders and politicians have called for the ACCC to be disbanded.
Yeah.
On the other side of the ledger, though, have you done any studies which quantify the benefits that have flowed from the work the ACCC has done in reducing monopolies and anti-competitive practices, and looked at the price reductions and the efficiencies and the unemployment, or the increase in employment that has resulted from many of the work that the ACCC has done? Has those studies been done, and have they been made public?
Well, the short cool answer is not really. On the general point you've made, there are two images of the Commission. One is that it's over-fierce, and the other is that it's a toothless tiger, and people debate about this till the end of the day. And again, the business complaints give rise to two reactions. One is that we're doing a bad job. The other is that we must be doing a good job. You would expect people to complain about us if we're doing a big job, because we're fighting major economic interests, monopolies, cartels, and they will fight tooth and nail against someone that's doing their job properly. Now, on the benefits, there is work around about the effects of competition, and some of it brought about by us in areas like the Freight Express cartel. There's a fair bit of business information that prices fell sharply after we broke that cartel, same with the concrete companies, same with some of the merger interventions. And it is interesting that business actually supports the Trade Practices Act. Business is, in fact, the main beneficiary, because most of the time business gets a benefit because its suppliers supply them more competitively and efficiently as a result of there being a Trade Practices Act around. And so the business community supports the Act, but of course they don't like it when we come knocking on their door individually, and that's where they start complaining.
Thank you very much indeed, Professor Jones. I suspect this box contains a 1993 Sir Hugo Conroy Cadbury Souvenir from Orlando, London. I suspect it is GST free, WIC free, but certainly has wholesale sales tax benefit.
Okay, fantastic.
Thank you, Bob. Okay. Thank you.